So this is a very familiar passage, the passage where the disciples were asked by our Lord Jesus to go to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. And we know from last week's ministry, we know what happened before this. So Jesus was demonstrating his power. He fed more than 5,000 people with mere 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. He fed all the people. And we also learned last week that so much of food gathered up. There were leftovers there. So they gathered it. And the remnants all gathered in a baskets and they took back home. So whoever came to seek the Lord Jesus, they went back with filling. They not only filled on the day, but they also took back when they left. And so sadly, our Messiah was completely misunderstood, isn't it, at this point in time in the history, in the life of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we see that they want to make him a king. And that's one of the reasons Jesus departed from them. Jesus departed from them. And he went to be alone with his Father in heaven. That's truly amazing, right? To be alone with the Father in heaven. And that reminds us of the person of our Lord Jesus Christ, who fully submitted himself to the will of the Father. That's truly remarkable. He's someone who did the perfect will of God the Father. And we could see it here. And he wants to go and be in the presence of his Father and to be with him and to understand the will of the Father. That's truly remarkable. And now we could see in the Gospel of John, Jesus put his disciples in a boat, and it was already evening, 16th verse, it's already evening. So Jesus asked his disciples to cross the Sea of Galilee and to wait for him at the other side of the Sea of Galilee. And it is already dark, and we could see what happened in the sea while they were crossing. They were almost in the middle of the lake or the Sea of Galilee, and we could see a great wind arose and was blowing, and there was a storm there. And the disciples were trying, you know, they're straining themselves, rowing for hours. We could see from other Gospels, from Matthew and Mark, we could understand the same event is more detailed in Matthew and Mark. And we could see how they were straining for hours to reach the shore. But we could see Jesus walking on the sea and came near the boat. And they were afraid to see the person who was walking on the sea. And Jesus said, "It is I. Do not be afraid." And here we also familiar that Jesus seized the wind and the boat. They received him into the boat, and they were safely on the shore. Truly remarkable, isn't it? It's truly remarkable. And I wonder, every gospel writers, they have some specific to their gospels. Right? Matthew given a lot of information in this event, like Peter walked on water. That is truly encouraging to see a brother like us who walked on water he failed, but still he took the first step. And what a tremendous faith it is. And he walked on water. And and Matthew added that. And Mark given more elaborate details about the events about this particular event, like Jesus was seeing them from the mountain. I find it another supernatural thing. It's not possible for a man to see a boat in the midst of caught in the midst of a storm from the top of a mountain, even if it's a full moon night. I don't think it is humanly possible to see. And but we from the account of Mark, we understand Jesus was seeing them. They're straining in the midst of the lake. That's truly remarkable, right? And I astounded what John is trying to bring here. John wants his reader just to focus on the almightiness of God, of Jesus, of his divinity, of his power, of his supremacy of Jesus in this passage. He just wants us to focus on Jesus walked on the water. That is tremendous, right? That is remarkable. And that gives us, as readers, many centuries after we reading that, we can truly appreciate the words of this gospel writer, that John wants us to just to focus that Jesus walked on the sea and he seized the wind. And the wind obeyed him. The sea, the roaring of the sea was in complete obedience. That's truly wonderful. And also there is another account where Jesus, where the disciples faced a storm in the sea, in the midst of the sea, right? In the same Sea of Galilee. And that time, in that account, we know that Jesus was there in the boat. And in this account, Jesus was not there in the boat. But we could see Jesus walked on the water or the sea and came and he controlled the storm. Okay, so there are two separate events. So all the little ones, we have to be understanding this. So we are considering a different account. So this is the second time Lord Jesus controlling the storm, the heavy wind in the sea. That's truly remarkable. And it is a familiar passage, as I said before, but we can draw lots and lots of lessons from this passage. And when I considered this for the ministry today, all I thought about is one. Looking around the world we live in is a troubled world, right? Even today morning, one of our brother shared how troubled our world is. The world system is filled with trouble. And I'm not, a man is trying to bring out peace. Man is trying to work it out. Man is trying to come up with all kind of solutions to address the problems of this present time, but it's not possible. A troubled world is the time where we live in. And we could see there is a beacon of hope in this troubled world. And that is the church in the present age. God has given us to be partaker of the body of Christ. And to be part of church is something glorious, isn't it? It's so glorious. And how joyful it is that we are all in Christ. We are all in Christ. And as we see in this event, when Jesus came, he given peace. There is absolute peace. There was trouble before. The disciples were troubled. Yeah? The disciples were troubled. I was just thinking with my simple imagination, these disciples would have just left when Jesus asked them to leave. They should have left. Oh, Jesus, you are missing the big opportunity. You are supposed to be the king. Look, there are more than 5,000 people behind you supporting you to be the king. And you should be crowned as a king now. But you want to go alone and you want this to go alone as well. So they're not really happy at all. And their hearts were hardened is the word we read in Mark. Their hearts were hardened because they can't able to perceive what Jesus is doing here. And here we have our Lord Jesus Christ and he's teaching them that he is the Almighty One. He is the Almighty One. Absolutely, he is the King of Kings. He is the King of Kings. The psalmist says, the Lord reigns and let the earth rejoice and be glad in it. He is the Lord of all. And here the Lord Jesus Christ is teaching them, there is something he has to accomplish before the crown. There is a suffering he has to go through before the crown. And Jesus is the one who came to give peace to this world, isn't it? He is the one who gives peace to this world. And that's my focus point today. And I want my entire ministry today to focus on the peace of our Lord Jesus Christ. That is what is lacking in our present time where we live in now. When you look around, there is sound of war, and there is war going on in Israel. And there is so much rumors of war. And we are in a time of famine, though we may not experience it. We all going through a time of famine. I work in banking sector. I know very well. We are going through a time of famine. And anyone who watching the economics of the world will truly understand what I'm speaking. So we are going through a time of famine. We are going through a time of inflation. And people are struggling. There is so much trouble filled in this world. And what is the answer for this? What is the answer for this? And a brother, Rob, was pointing us in last week's Bible class, and that really captured my heart, that we live in the last days, isn't it? And he pointed a verse from Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 2. And God spoken through his son. God has spoken. And the word has already been given to us. And God has spoken. There is no extra thing we need in this present time to live a joyful life. Because the Lord has spoken through his son. Our Lord Jesus Christ. How wonderful it is. And all this world needs is Jesus. Is Jesus, the Son of God. He is the Messiah. He is the Son of God. And he is our Redeemer. And Isaiah prophesied hundreds of years back, he said, Isaiah said, he is the Prince of Peace. Prince of Peace. In Isaiah chapter 9, we read that, right? There are beautiful titles of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's a wonderful counselor, Almighty God, and he's also the Prince of Peace. It's truly wonderful, right? We have the Prince of Peace as our Lord and Savior. And he is there to give us that peace. And we have many accounts speaking about how the disciples were afraid. They were afraid in many accounts. Like in one of the accounts, we read when Jesus was crucified and he was in the tomb, and the disciples were shut their doors. That we read in John chapter 20. And we understand they were afraid there. They were afraid. It's right. They have to be afraid because he's the one they followed for 3 years maybe. And they've seen miracles after miracles. And they knew very well that he is the one. He is the Messiah. But now their Messiah whom they followed has been put to death. And they have been afraid. And here we have in John chapter 20, verse 19 and 20, we read, then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for the fear of the Jews. They were shut, the doors were shut, and they were so scared, and they were inside a house with the doors shut because of the fear of the Jews. But what happened? Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, peace be with you. Peace be with you. That's another beautiful account I remembered. That Jesus is there to give peace, and he wants his children to rest in his peace. In the Luke chapter 1 and 2 and 3, we read lots of beautiful things about our Lord Jesus Christ, and many have been told to us today morning in our ministry during our worship time. And Simeon is one beautiful character, right? When he received this baby Jesus, and he told these words, Mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all the peoples. Here Simeon is giving this beautiful revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ. And he's telling, this is the one, the baby born is a very special baby. He's a very special baby. We know that how our Lord Jesus Christ is born. We consider the words of Mary today morning. And he's a special one, right? He's a special one born of a virgin. And his birth is so pure. His birth is so miraculous. He is a special creation of God. And when Simeon took the baby, he said, my eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people. So before the times that has been prepared for us. The salvation should be accomplished and fulfilled in the second person in Trinity. And who is he? He's a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. So there are beautiful two pictures here. He's a light unto the Gentiles and the glory of his people Israel. Is that bringing comfort to us all? Is that bringing consolation to us all? He is the light to the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. And when the angels were singing, when they told about Jesus to the shepherds, they were singing this song. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward man. And that is a sound of the angels. All these myriads of angels, they were singing this beautiful song when they seen the baby wrapped in the manger. They said, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. That's truly wonderful, right? Jesus is peace. Do we have peace in our Christian journey? Do we have peace that rests in our Christian journey? It is not possible. We all go through troubles. Everyone in our midst have some kind of trouble. But in September, I went to India, and I have to witness a baptism service in the assembly back there in India. And a young girl, I think she should be around 13 or 15, or I don't know, but very young, 15 or 16 year old girl. And she told about how much trouble she went through in our life, in our young age. I was really broken when listening to the testimony of that young girl, how much trouble she went through. So there are so many, even in our midst, going through unspoken trouble. Unspoken trouble. The words, something we cannot able to understand. Only God can understand. But we have a very beautiful good news in the scripture that we have someone given peace. It is not He's supposed to give us, it has already been given. All we need to do is to receive that peace in our heart. That's all, dear brothers and sisters. We have to receive the peace of Christ in our heart. Let's see what the scripture is telling. I want to just go back to the Old Testament. Old Testament, that is before Christ. There are prophecies like, or the cry of prophets eagerly waiting for a mediator. Like Job is crying in chapter 9. In Job chapter 9 verse 33 we read, neither is there any daysman between us that might lay his hand upon us both. And here Job is crying out, there is no mediator between me and God. There is no mediator. That is his cry. And Isaiah chapter 59 we read, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is ear heavy that it cannot hear, but your iniquities have separated you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. And here we have this beautiful picture how man is separated from God. He is separated from God because of his sin. His iniquities have separated you and your God. And in Ezekiel chapter 22, in verse 30 we have, Ezekiel, God is telling, is there anyone who can stand in the gap? And in verse 30 we read, and I sought for a man among them that should make up the edge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none. It's heartbreaking, right? It must be heartbreaking for all the prophets. And God cannot find. We talked about Isaiah and Micah. We are studying as assembly now. We know the contemporary Isaiah. There are lots of prophets there. But still God is telling, I have found none who can stand in the gap. Who can stand in the gap. And that's truly remarkable what our Lord Jesus Christ did for us on the cross of Calvary. Kindly turn with me to Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 15 onwards. This is what our Lord God did for you and me. This is what He did for you and me. Verse 15 we read, and delivered them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. So that is our condition. The condition of man. He lives in fear of death and is subject to bondage. In that fear of death. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore in all things it behoved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people, that for in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. That God bless this reading. So this is the condition of man. He is in fear of death. He is in the lifetime subjection to bondage. And what our Lord Jesus Christ did. For indeed he does not give an aid to angels, but he given aid to the seed of Abraham. He given aid to the seed of Abraham. That's truly wonderful, right? Yeah, in New King James Version, I like the translation. The word aid is used. I don't know how accurate is the translation, but I like the word aid. To whom we will send aid? Aid is sent to someone who is in need, who is someone who is in desperate need. And here we have the desperate condition of man, and God is giving aid to the seed of Abraham. And Hebrews is a book written to Hebrews, so it is written to the seed of Abraham, which including all of us, all the Gentiles as well, spiritually. In verse 13 we read, therefore, in all things he had to be made like his brethren. So God became flesh, right? in John chapter 1, we have this wonderful word. The word became flesh. Why the word became flesh? So that he became like his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest. Our Lord Jesus Christ is a merciful Savior. He's a merciful one. When that woman in sin came to Jesus, everyone is ready to stone her to death. And what Jesus did? All your sins are forgiven. Sin no more is the word of our Savior. What a lovely Savior we have. What a lovely Savior we have. As we come as sinners to Him, and there we receive the great news of peace, a comfort from the very word, from the mouth of our Lord Jesus. And He said, your sins are forgiven. And He's a merciful Savior. And He's a faithful one. He's a faithful one. He was faithful in His prophetical time. He's a faithful great prophet. And he's a faithful high priest now. And he will be a wonderful, faithful king in the future. And what he did to make propitiation for our sins, he became the propitiation for our sins. He has to suffer. Our Lord Jesus Christ has to suffer. He was tempted. In all points he was tempted. And he was suffered to able to aid those who are tempted and in suffering. That is truly wonderful, what our Lord Jesus Christ did for you and me on the cross of Calvary. He was one perfect mediator. And why he has to mediate? There are two things broken with man and God. And he wants to restore that peace with God. He wants to give you and me a peace with God. When Adam, who used to walk daily with God in the Garden of Eden, one day he hid himself behind the tree. He said, God, I'm naked. I can't come before you. I'm naked. And what made Adam to say those words? Because he disobeyed God. And sin entered his life. And because of that, man has to hid himself from the sight of God. He no more can able to stand before a holy God. Because he's a holy one. And Adam hidden himself because of his sin. And what God did, what we received through our Lord Jesus Christ, we received the broken peace with God. We received the broken peace with God. And in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3, verse 5 we read, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. The man Christ Jesus. God became man. The man Christ Jesus. He is God. He is completely, fully God. And we could see from the passage which we read today, he can walk on the water. He is God. He has total control over all his creations. In very beginning of John chapter 1, verse 3, we read that he has complete control over all his creation. In Colossians chapter 1, we read that in him, everything consists, all things that has been created, it consists in him and exists in him. He is the one who created. Again, in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 2, we read that it is through him all the worlds have been made. It is through him. But still, we have man. God became man. God became man, our Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because he is our mediator. He is one perfect mediator. And that we read in 1 Timothy. And one mediator between God and man. And in Ephesians chapter 2, we have this big separation. In chapter 2, we read that how hopeless we are, how alienated we are. We are so far from the presence of God. We can't able to draw nigh to his presence. We are so separated from God. And we have the beautiful picture Paul is bringing there. That house, from the hopeless condition, we are brought closer to the presence of God by the blood of Christ Jesus. By the blood of Christ Jesus. Isaiah 53 we read, he bore the punishment for our peace. And in Ephesians, in chapter 2 verse 14 we read, Christ himself, our peace. He himself, our peace. What a wonderful God we have. What a wonderful God we have. No need for you and to me to go and to live a secluded life to receive this peace. I read in a book long time back. It's a secular book I was reading. So a disciple of a guru, he came to his guru and he asked him, "Guru, tell me how to receive peace." And the guru thought for a while and he said, "Even I am seeking for the peace for a long time, and I had to find it. Peace is not something we can sort over, we can seek after. Peace has to be given by God. And the peace of God we receive through our Lord Jesus Christ." And in Philippians chapter 4, verse 4, we read, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say, rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." And the peace of God. So, as children who have peace with God, now we are the recipients of peace of God. And that peace of God dwells within us. And what our duty is to lead a life withholding that peace, guarding that peace, the peace that has been given to us, guarding it. And Matthew chapter 5, Lord Jesus said, "Blessed are peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God." Peacemakers. And that is our wonderful responsibility, dear brothers and sisters. To this troubled world, what we can offer as a church, we can take out this beautiful, simple message of gospel, a peace-giving message of this gospel, and we can teach this world and make disciples. And that is the last commission given to us by our Lord Jesus Christ. How wonderful it is. How privileged we are. We are not just the recipients of peace from God, but now we can make peace by presenting His gospel, by speaking about our Lord Jesus Christ. We can be peacemakers, and they are called sons of God. That's truly wonderful, right? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to His name for what He did in our life. He given us peace. He given us His peace. In John chapter 14, verse 27, our Lord Jesus said, "World cannot give peace. This world cannot give peace. My peace I give unto you." Dear friends, the world cannot give peace. And I'm sure everyone, we all agree to this. World cannot give peace. Only our Lord Jesus Christ can give us peace. So the rest of the verse we have, it's the following day. So the next day, the disciples. So on the following day, all the people, they followed Jesus, and they came to the other shore as well. But they knew very well that Jesus was not entered the boat along with his disciples. So, but they can't find Jesus anywhere on the other shore. So they took the boats and they came, and they came to, the verse 24 ends like seeking Jesus. They sought after Jesus. They were seeking Jesus. But this seeking is not for, for the goodness of our Lord Jesus Christ. This seeking is so worldly, right? This seeking is so physical. Because they are so filled with the food what the Lord Jesus Christ given them, so they sought after Him to have more of that, to have more of that from our Lord Jesus Christ. And that is not the right way to approach our Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah, it is not something the Bible is teaching us, to seek Him for material gain, to seek Him for physical gain. Our Lord will take care of it. It said, "Ask and it shall be given, and seek and you will find it." And everything we ask in the name of the Lord will be given unto us. But seek the kingdom of God first. Seek ye His kingdom. And the people were seeking Him, but not with the right intention. Dear friends, hope this passage is helped us all. So we have our Lord Jesus Christ, who is our peace. And let's seek Him every day in our life. Let's Let's give our praise, our worship to him. He deserves. He's the one who deserves all our praise and worship. And that is the right thing to do in our life, to present our bodies as a living sacrifice to our Lord Jesus Christ. And that is a desire of the Holy Spirit who is working in us in this dispensation. And one day, this troubled times will come to an end for the church. When the Lord comes, the troubled time will come to an end. And we will have that eternal peace with him. And one day, the troubled, Jacob's trouble will come to an end. When the Lord returns, when his brother returns, brother Jesus, when he returns to his own, they will receive him that time. And the Jacob trouble will come to an end. What a wonderful Lord we have. He has a plan for each and every one of us. He has an absolute perfect plan. So let us put our trust in him. May God help us to grow in experiencing this peace of joy, peace with God, and peace of God in our life. Amen.